Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Gaggle podcast, It Takes a Village. We're very pleased and honored to have with us today a very special guest with a very special mission. So I'm pleased to introduce you to Wendy Sefcik. Wendy, welcome to a Gaggle podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be here with you today.
Thank you.
I'm here to share with you a little bit about my story. I 11 years ago, on December 1st, 2010, we lost our 16-year-old son, TJ, to suicide. And since losing TJ, it has become my passion, my mission in life to do everything I can to make sure that other families do not have to go through the tragic loss that rips your family, your world apart of losing a child to suicide. So that's really why I'm here today, to share a little bit more about that.
Thank you. And I'm so sorry to hear more about your son. And I'm glad we're able to honor him on this anniversary of 11 years of his passing. So thank you very much for sharing with us today. Do you want to start off just telling us a little bit more about TJ?
Nothing makes me happier than to be able to talk about TJ. I think when you get involved in this work, so much of it becomes about the suicide, but TJ was about so much more than that moment of his death. He was an incredible young man. You know, from the time he was a little boy, he always had this incredible zest for life. He was very, very intelligent, really able, anything TJ tried, he was able to do. He was extremely athletic, very, very loving. I always said to be loved by TJ was really one of the greatest gifts that you can have. He loved hard, he played hard, and he also felt hard. That's something that we didn't realize. We always knew he was an extremely sensitive child, always worrying about the underdog, always running to help other children, you know, in the playground. If he thought somebody was being bullied, he was their champion. But we never realized how sensitive and how deep his thoughts and feelings went. And as he began to get older, we did start to see certain things, but we didn't realize what we were seeing, certain changes in his behavior, and we didn't understand what we were seeing. We thought we saw a kid entering his teenage years, pulling away from us and starting to act out a little bit. And it wasn't until after we lost TJ to suicide that we were horrified to learn how many kids we lose every year to suicide. We honestly believed that we were the only family that was going through this in our state, in our community, in this country. And we were shocked to learn how many kids struggle every single day and how many kids are dying by suicide. And it's not always kids that are curled up in a ball and can't function. There are many kids who are really standouts in their community, put on a great face with our youth. Masking is a big issue. So I always, when people always say, well, how do you know if you know your kid is at risk? I always say every and any child could be at risk for suicide. That's not a cause for panic, but it is a cause to be informed, to understand, and to know how to have conversations.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, we at Gaggle see a lot of this, obviously, given the nature of what we do, trying to help keep kids safe. The thing that we hear oftentimes from school districts when, you know, we've reached out to them with an alert that there's a student considering taking his or her life, is oftentimes the parents don't even think that there's a problem. And literally the school district are, well, can you please go check on them? And they'll go check on them and they'll be, you know, fortunately, okay, but in the process of doing something really, you know, damaging. So those kids, the parents are like, they're fine. And this is one of the challenges of, you know, being a parent in this day and age, being an educator in this day and age. I think with technology, it's really hard to see what's going on with our kids. And so So to your point, the masking is a really serious issue. Wendy, you've done an awful lot since your son's passing to try to build awareness around all of this. Do you want to tell us a little bit about some of those efforts to try to get more parents and educators, understanding this very, important and difficult topic?
Yeah, as I said, as we started to peel back the layers and we realized we weren't alone and how we needed to really shine a light on this issue, we actually just started speaking. I was asked to speak a couple times in community events to clinicians to share TJ's story. And every time I shared his story, somebody else said, well, could you speak here or here? So what we did is we decided to create a program called Remembering TJ, a story of teen depression lessons and hope. Because I think that hope piece is really, really important. We want people to know that we can help these kids. We can get them the help and the support they need. We need to connect them to resources. And a big part of that is having great resources like Gaggle in our schools to help. You mentioned something about, when parents are alerted and they say, no, nothing's wrong. I want to emphasize that's not necessarily because the parents don't care or they're not noticing. Our kids very often want to protect us as much as we want to protect them. And what we hear from kids time and time again is, oh, my parents have so much going on. I don't want to burden them with this. I don't, they're worried about, their job, or they're worried about my sister. And I don't want to put this on. We had one young woman who said, my brother's in the military. My mom's scared all the time. I don't want to tell her how I'm feeling. So I think that's important that parents understand this isn't because you're doing something wrong. But kids are complex. So the more we understand, the better off we're going to be. So that's how the effort started, was going out and seeing that there really was a platform for this that people wanted to hear. And they wanted to hear firsthand stories, because it's one thing to have someone listing a bunch of risk factors and telling you what warning signs are. But when you hear a firsthand story and what was really going on with a kid that really could have been any kid. One of the things we do in our program is we actually show a very short video of TJ's life. And most people will say, wow, that was our family. That could have been us. And that's what we heard from our community. So that's how the work started. And then I found out about the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and got very involved in their work. They do a lot for on the, the platform of research and advocacy and education, which is really important. So I work, I'm in the New Jersey chapter board chair of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And I do know, I'm a big believer in upstream prevention. So I do a lot of work. I'm on the board with the Mental Health Association of Monmouth County, and I'm involved in stigma-free initiatives. I think we work way too many times in silos. So that's why it may sound like I'm diluting my efforts, but it's about bringing all these efforts of all these amazing organizations and individuals who are trying to do the same thing and make sure we all know about each other. And that's one of the things about Gaggle. I want to make sure that all our schools know about Gaggle and can get programs like this in the schools. So that's a lot of my work is about awareness across the entire spectrum of mental health. And anytime we take care of our mental health, that's suicide prevention.
Absolutely. That's great. It sounds like you're doing all and everything you can to try to, get the word out. We at Gaggle are seeing just over the last year, a huge increase in issues related to suicide ideation and self-harm. I think the number is an increase year over year of 87% of the number of alerts that we've had to literally phone the district with, an emergency situation. And that's taking into consideration this number of increase in the kids we're supporting. So it's not just based on that. One of the things that you touched on, which I wanted to dig into a little bit, is this whole thing about our adolescents and younger kids. There is a strong element of impulsivity that these kids are it's part their frontal lobes just have not yet been fully formed. And I think there's a really important point about time being of the essence and being really vigilant about that. And also just trying to educate kids to think further than the moment in front of them, right? So is that something that you could speak to a little bit in terms of TJ and just your work in general?
Yeah, I the way I would speak to that is we need to do a better job of letting our kids fail and figure things out. We need to do better at helping our kids to problem solve so that when they get in a tough spot and they are feeling so completely overwhelmed and hopeless that they can see another way out. One of the things that's happened, I think, is we have a generation of parents, including myself, that we want to do everything for our kids. We don't want our kids to struggle and suffer. We want to help them. But what we are failing to do is allowing them to fail and then fix. So we need to make sure that our kids understand that they have it within them. Things can go wrong. Things will go wrong. Nobody gets through this life unscathed. We're going to have problems. We're going to have hurdles and challenges, but we can learn so much from these challenges. So we really need to allow our kids to become problem solvers. That's one of the biggest protective factors in suicide prevention is allowing our kids to problem solve so that when they get in that tough spot and they are feeling overwhelmed, and make no mistake, impulsivity plays a huge role, but also it is a feeling of extreme pain that those of us who have never experienced that, those feelings, we can't understand the pain that somebody is in, the depths of despair. And then if you combine that with those elements of impulsivity, can be really, really difficult. So we need to make sure that our kids are in touch with that. We're not going to be able to change it, right? We can't make their prefrontal lobes develop any quicker, but we can talk to them about it. And one of the best ways to prevent suicide is having conversations. We need to let our kids, you know, have that pressure release valve activated by having conversations and talking to them. You know, I read an article, I see, you know, that kids use suicide as an issue. You know, have you ever thought of killing yourself? And that seems so counter to a conversation we would have with our children. But we have to remember, we do have other tough conversations with our kids, right? We talk to our kids about drugs, and we talk to our kids about, you know, not letting somebody, when they're very young, not letting somebody touch you in your private places. Those are scary topics too. So we want to be able to talk to them about their mental health and if they have thoughts of hurting themselves or killing themselves. And I do want to just highlight, there's a huge distinction between hurting yourself and killing yourself when we're having these conversations, because you want to really say it like it is. You want to ask your child if they thought of killing themselves. Because the difference between hurting themselves and killing themselves, for somebody who's suicidal, they may not see killing themselves as hurting themselves because they're in such tremendous pain that they actually don't see it as hurting as so much as helping. So language is really, really critical. There is an issue with non-suicidal self-injury, right? And that's called NSSI. You hear about kids who will cut and do other types of self-harm to release stress and pain for a variety of reasons. But that doesn't mean that child is suicidal. That is an issue that needs to be addressed, and something else I'm sure that Gaggle picks up on, so that parents can be alerted. But it's not necessarily the same thing as a suicide risk. So we need to make sure that our language, and that's where the education piece comes in, and learning how to have these difficult conversations.
That's very interesting. So what you're saying is that the actual conversation, the words actually coming out and saying, are you thinking about killing yourself, or are you thinking about hurting yourself, are two completely different paths of the conversation. Yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah. Right.
Are you thinking about suicide? It is. These are the things, you know, over time I've taken so many trainings, and I do see how, you know, all the research that's put into every single word and why, and that when somebody puts it like that, you can kind of understand in a person's mind why it's different. So that's why it's important to use the word suicide. I know one of the greatest myths of suicide is that talking about it will plant the seed of thought in someone's head. So that's why adults are often hesitant to have these conversations. But there is a lot of research that shows it's the exact opposite. And I do always, you know, challenge people, you know, pick up a book, you know, pay attention, look at movies. Our kids know what suicide is from a very young age. It's in literature, it's in the books they're reading, it's in the movies they're watching, it's on social media. A lot of times there's jokes about suicide. How many times have you heard someone say, oh, if I have to do another Zoom, I'm going to blow my brains out. Well, you know, we shouldn't make those jokes, but our kids are aware of what suicide is. So it's okay to have these conversations.
Okay, that's a very, very important point. And, you know, it's one of the things that we, you know, talking with educators all over the country and parents is we do hear that it is very important to have these conversations. And it is true that people hesitate for that very reason that you just said, that they think planting the seed is a bad idea, but it needs, students, children just need to be able to open up with, you know, somebody about how they're feeling. So that's like one of the most important, you know, parts of suicide prevention, I think.
I was sitting in an emergency room with a 13-year-old girl whose parents were amazing. I mean, this was a good, solid family, and she had made a suicide attempt and thankfully survived. And her mom wanted me to talk to her, and I wanted her mom to be there in the conversation. And I said, I'm going to be really open and really frank and talk about the attempt and her thoughts leading up to that. And she wanted to talk about it. She wanted to tell me about how she had been hurting for such a long time and having these thoughts for such a long time. And I said to her right in front of her mom, I said, you know, you're why did you never talk to your parents about it and let them know what was going on? And she said, nobody ever asked. So we want to think, well, we tell our kids, you can talk to us about everything. And I can't answer that question, but I will tell you that we hear that story time and time again. People say, well, nobody asked. So that's one of the reasons we know we have to ask. People are ashamed and embarrassed about having these thoughts. They don't want anyone to think they're crazy. And that's that stigma that is associated with mental health issues. So that's why when people are struggling, very often they don't reach out for help. But if you throw out that lifeline by asking the questions and letting them know, yeah, we could even talk about this, and I'm not gonna overreact, I'm going to just say, tell me more. That's what's the important message.
Right, talking. I mean, so thinking about, you know, ways of trying to help prevent these tragedies, you've been very active, you know, for the past over a decade. What would you say some of the important safety nets are that are available besides, you know, obviously talking to parents and other trusted adults, but maybe some resources or other ideas?
Resources, you know, connection, right? That's what's the most important. So we do, I love, you know, your podcast, It Takes a Village, right? This is suicide prevention. We want to have this safety net for our kids. So that means all gatekeepers in our community, coaches and faith leaders, teachers, the people that work in the lunchroom, the school custodians, the bus drivers, anybody who comes in contact with our kids, we want them to have an awareness and to notice. The most important thing is to notice changes in behavior, good or bad, any changes in normal behavior, have conversations about that, and to boost those safety nets by getting kids connected and making sure they know the resources that are available for them in their community. That's the most important thing that we can do, is to boost connections, families, get, you know, make time to have those meals around the table. And I'm going to tell you, we were that family. We had dinner together, even though we had three active boys in sports. We pretty much had found a way to have dinner together most nights. So that's not necessarily going to prevent, but it sure is going to help. And it is part of that safety net. The things that we didn't do is we didn't have conversations about mental health. And when kids start to act out, we reacted to the behavior. We saw some bad behavior, TJ, very irritable, acting out, being disrespectful to us. And we punished him, you know, we grounded him. You can't talk like that. You can't pick a fight with your brother. You're punished. Rather than stepping back and saying, you know, this is very out of character for him. This, maybe something else is going on. So those are the things that we want to do. That's all part of the safety net. And I encourage parents and teachers, right, to listen to each other. So when the school contacts the parents and says, you know, we got an alert from Gaggle and this is going on, be open-minded. Don't be so quick to say, not my kid. Hear that. And also, if a parent says to an educator, I think something's going on, the parent, we want the teachers to be have an open mind too. I did talk to the teachers before we lost TJ because I knew I saw bad behavior. And I said, well, you know, what's going on in school? And they all said, oh, if we had 20 TJs in our class, you know, our job would be easy. And I could tell they were looking at me like a helicopter mom. And I really just wanted somebody else who had eyes on them for that 6 hours a day if they noticed something different. So we all need to do a better job of listening to each other and not being so quick to be on the defensive, but to hear each other. That's all part of the safety net. And to have products, encourage your, you know, your districts to have products like Gaggle within the district. And if you, you know, because that's the other thing. They want us to know. They want to be helped. So that's why sometimes those clues do come up. They use words. They are searching for things. They want somebody to know. They're asking for help in the ways that they know. So we have to pay attention.
Absolutely. And, you know, that with what we do at Gaggle, a lot of times we're seeing messages in like Google Docs and that students are writing, knowing that Gaggle is in the district and that Gaggle will see it, asking for help for themselves or for a friend. And, you know, whatever it takes, whatever form this listening is in, I think, you know, you're right. It's absolutely crucial to trying to support our youth. So
we have to take it seriously every time. Too often the kid says, oh, you know, I'd be better off if I was dead. And, you know, we're quick to say, oh, don't be so dramatic, you know, but we need to pay attention. We need to hear it every time and at least have a conversation. Maybe they were being overly dramatic, but we need to at least step back and have that calm conversation.
Very good. Absolutely. So Wendy, I mean, given this anniversary of your son's passing, is there anything in closing that you would like to specifically share with other parents and educators who are listening to this in terms of whatever you feel would be helpful?
One other thing that is really important in suicide prevention is that we take care of survivors of suicide loss, because by virtue of that loss, all of these people, including myself and my family, are at a higher risk of suicide. So we want to make sure that we support one another. I can tell you that our experience was tremendous. Our community, the outpouring of support from family and friends, was amazing. But it's not always the case. And very often there's a lot of judgment when there's a death by suicide. Oh, what was going on with that family? What were those parents doing? What were they thinking? So to step back, to reserve judgment and just offer kindness. And I think that is always TJ's legacy, is love and kindness is really the thread that we need to bring through all of this work. In all of our prevention efforts and our education efforts, is to just give each other a break. We're coming, you know, we're in the middle of a very difficult time in this country. The pandemic has record number of people struggling with their mental health, including our youth. And we need to make sure that they can take a breath, that they have people that they can reach out to support. And that, to me, is the greatest legacy for my son, is that people are a little kinder to each other on every day.
Yeah, thank you. I thank you so much for sharing with us, Wendy, about TJ and about everything that you've been doing over the last 11 years to try to help other parents with this and students. So for anybody who's listening to this, I want to just say out loud, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline telephone number is 800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. They also have a crisis text line, which is you just text TALK and then 741-741. So TALK and then 741-741. What we're going to do when we publish this podcast, we will put resources underneath as well. And we'll include information about remembering TJ as well, Wendy. Okay, so thank you. Really so much appreciate your taking the time today. And, you know, like you say, it really does take a village. So let's just keep trying to help everybody. So thank you again.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for the work that you do.
Thank you.